Om namo bhagavate vasudevayam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevayam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevayam. Text 21, chapter 16, canto 4. Asmai nirpala kila tatra tatra. Balim harishyanti saloka palaha. Mamsyanta esham sriya adi rajam. Chakrayutam tad yasha udharantyaha. Translation: when the king travels all over the world, other kings as well as demigods will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king who carries in his hands the emblems of the club and disc and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm going to read four verses because there's no purports for two of them and very short for the two that do have purports, and the theme is all tied together. So whoever writes the verse on the board. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As far as reputation is concerned, King Prithu is already known as an incarnation, or as the incarnation, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Adi Rajam means the original king. Original king is Narayana, or Lord Vishnu. People do not know that the original king, or Narayana, is actually the protector of all living entities, as confirmed in the Vedas. Eko bohunam yo vididhati kaman. Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is maintaining all living entities. The king, or Naradeva, is his representative. As such, the king's duty is to personally supervise the distribution of wealth for the maintenance of all living entities. If he does so, he will be reputable as Narayana, as mentioned in this verse. Tad Yashaha, Prithu Maharaj was actually carrying with him the reputation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he was actually reigning over the world in that capacity. End of purport. Important understanding, but it's again embedded in the next verses. This king, this is translation for text 22, there's no purport here. This king, that's Prithu, this protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed end of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. Text 23. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upwards, like he's on the hunt, look out, here I come. All menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls and is irresistible in battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. Purport. It is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are still called Singh, which means lion, S-I-N-G-H. Unless rogues, thieves, and other demoniac people in a state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. Thus, it is most regrettable, sorry ladies, when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. He wrote this during Indira Gandhi's prime ministership. Text 24, final one for this morning. At the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashvamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse, and that's a whole story in itself. There's no purport here, but there's a whole chapter discussing it later in the Bhagavatam. So these are professional reciters that are describing circumstances that will happen in the future. We discussed how that was possible. They weren't like Vyas, where they were Trikalagya, but they were scientists, spiritual scientists. They understood the science of astrology. So it's very clear how that can be done. But even if you can do the math, like, you know, at a particular time when a child is born and place on the, you know, latitude and longitude, you can determine in relation to that particular place where the various planets are. We discussed that yesterday. You just have to know the math. But then, what is the subtle influence of those planets upon the life of a living being who happens to be born at that particular place in latitude and longitude? That takes not just art and science. It requires being in touch with super soul, being able to intuitively understand different influences. Just like Prabhupada describes the qualification of a judge. Not if one is actually qualified, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was actually qualified, he was busy writing the decision while the lawyers were still arguing the case. He was sitting on the judge's bench and writing decisions because he could intuitively understand. Some persons like that they're empowered to see the truth. Some persons can't for the life of them see the truth. But some persons are empowered. So it takes not just, you know, a textbook kind of understanding to be able to be an astrologer. It takes spiritual acumen to be qualified. So these are persons that had that qualification. And before, just like at the life of, in the first canto, at the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, they were able to describe in detail. He'll be a hero like this, he'll be magnanimous like that, he'll be charitable like that. Before he did anything. And finding such qualified, in touch with super soul astrologers today, good luck. There are incidents you find in Lilamrita where Prabhupada, particularly when his health was failing towards the end of his life, he would ask the devotees, find an astrologer, find a competent astrologer, and they would give their readings. Prabhupada would look at the readings and then dismiss it. Because they're not qualified. It's not that Prabhupada didn't have faith in the principle. He didn't have faith in the qualifications of the individuals. Just like spiritual teachings, they're there. But how many people actually understand the meaning of the spiritual teachings? So many people are ready to profess their understanding. And Prabhupada didn't speak kind words about those people. Cheaters and rascals. Like one that I just recently heard, Prabhupada was saying, he was describing that some Hindus from India came to Mahatma Gandhi and said, in the Muslim religion, they're taking it as okay to kill cows. But we know according to our Vedic scripture, cows are to be protected and worshipped. But you're preaching nonviolence. Can you do something to help this situation? And Gandhi's reply is, what can I do? It's their religion. And Prabhupada thundered, what nonsense! That's not religion. They may say it is their religion, but so many people may say so many things. That's religion is one. Just like we're hearing this whole description about protection of praja and one who takes birth in any geographic area, a country, a nation, or whatever. They're citizens. Take birth as a tree. Take birth as a bird. Take birth as an animal. Take birth as a cow. Take birth as an insect. The king is to use the resources of supplied by nature and provide for them and protect, just like a father. Prabhupada would say if one son went to the father and said, one of my brothers, he's not very intelligent, let's kill him. What will the father say? That's okay, go ahead and kill him. Father's not going to say that. So in fact, if less intelligent, he needs protection. He needs special protection. So it's their religion. Religion means protection, and according to the codes given by God. That was, he just dismissed that even that possibly can be. It's a man-made idea. Not a God-given idea. And call it religion. Man doesn't make religion. God makes religion. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So to be a qualified anything, to be a qualified king, to be a qualified astrologer, to be a qualified teacher, to be a qualified citizen, one has to be God conscious. Otherwise, we can be a qualified disturbance from different positions, and you get a cacophony of disturbances and call that society and try to manage it. So education is needed and protection is needed according to the codes of Dharma. And so the reciters, they had that capacity, and they could see that the king had his capacity. So starting with Tad Yashaha, that's where Prabhupada chooses to begin. His fame, it's one of the six opulences of Bhagavan, Yashaha. Fame or reputation. Prabhupada would say, even the atheists, they know all about God. They're busy describing God doesn't exist. God is dead. God this and God that. But everybody knows him. He's very famous. Yashaha. So Prithu had that fame. He had that fame because he was Shaktivesh Avatar. He was God himself. He had the fame of God himself. So as he moved about the earth, everyone was singing his glories. But God-conscious souls were singing his glories because of his fame. And the things that he was famous for were worthy . Then he mentions Adi Raja, that's the original king, that's the Supreme Lord. Then immediately Prabhupada takes it and goes to, what does a king do? What does the original king do? The king serves the original king. And what does the original king do? Eko buhunam yo vidadati kama. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bohunam, yovididhati kaman. This original king, he is supplying all the necessities of all others. And so the servant of the original king does the same thing. He's not thinking my kingdom for me to enjoy, he's thinking the original king's kingdom for me to manage, or under his supervision, according to his direction, take up responsible governance. And what is that responsible governance? That's also mentioned in the next verse. He, like one milks a cow, Prithu Maharaj milked the earth. What is the function of the earth? The earth is Mother Nature, is supplying the necessities of everyone. So he received those necessities from Mother Nature, who supplied necessities for everyone, and saw that it was properly distributed. And Prabhupada's comment is, when one does like that, then one is entitled to have the recognition as being the representative of God. And the king should be respected like the representative of God. Again, as we mentioned yesterday, Prabhupada mentioned how Sanatana Goswami recognized Nawab Hussein Shah in that way. Naradeva, you already know thing. Why are you asking me? He was asking him because he was his minister. And that's what kings do. They ask their ministers things. Why are you asking me? You already know. And as he was moving about, the kings were honoring him as the original king, and the queens of those kings were honoring him as Adi Raja, not as their husband, but as the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord who carries the club and the chakra, the weapons that admonish the misdoers, the wrongdoers. So they were respecting him in that way and offering him prayers. And the troublemakers, the dacoits and the lawbreaker citizens, when they saw the powerful King Prithu coming, they would go and hide. The example that Prabhupada would give is that at night especially, the thieves come out. Now in places that are very unruly, they don't mind day or night. But night is a good time for stealing because people can't see. They can't see as well, and so at night they come out and steal. But when the sunlight comes, the thieves are, they don't have the cover of the night, so they hide. So when Prithu was moving about, it was like the sun driving away darkness. And with that darkness, the miscreants, they couldn't act in the presence of Prithu. It really requires spiritual qualification. It's not just by police force. Although police force helps. We had a just little social commentary. There was a period in New York City where there was so much crime. Like, I remember right in front of, I went out of our temple right on the sidewalk just to pace up and down a little bit, chant. We had a vehicle parked right in front of the temple. And I watched one guy, a robber. He leaned against the window of the car, looked this way, looked that way, lifted his elbow, broke the window, reached inside and started stealing stuff out of the van. And I walked up to the guy and said, you know, what the heck do you think you're doing? Come with me. And I grabbed his arm. Said, this is our temple. This is our temple vehicle. I'm bringing you inside. I'm going to call the police. And he had already a bag full of stuff that he had stolen from another vehicle. And he started running and dropped the stuff, and that distracted my attention. He got away. But it's plain daylight. People walking up and down the street. You know, it's a busy street. Robbing like nobody's business. Etc. But we got a new mayor who was, this is a little off topic, but Devamrita Swami, his father was a, whatever you call it, tenured officer of the New York City Police Force. I didn't know that till Maharaj told me. And the new mayor had this system that he rewarded. If you were going to be captain of a precinct, you had to not just capture more criminals, but you had to bring the incidence of crime down. You had to prevent crime before it happened. And they had this whole computerized thing of finding out where the problems were and going inside the living situations of people and finding out what the problems were. Because problems are generally sociologically based. Somebody's got a problem situation in their home, so they had to go and fix the problem in their home to prevent the crime from happening before it happened. Proactive, as they say. And it worked. And if you couldn't bring crime down, somebody else became captain in 3 months. You're out, next guy come in, bring crime down. And they were moving precincts all around the place just to make, and because it became so safe, it was being advertised as one of the least crime cities in the world. So, you know, it was inviting tourism and it brought, you know, wealth into the city because people felt safe. Now they can travel around the city. But before that, you know, just to walk down the street, I don't know if I want to walk down the street. He stopped being the mayor and just back to where it was. Crime is rampant all over the place, stealing cars and crazy. And just, you know, the petty kinds of crime, of the street crime. It takes a strong king or a strong government. And when it comes to this larger scale especially, like our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's international. Prabhupada, I heard Prabhupada describing specifically, international means we don't like this idea of I'm born in this country, so yay for my country. And I'm born in that country, so yay for my country, and then you fight with one another. Not in the bodily conception, but on the spiritual conception, international. Prabhupada explained, that's what he meant by not just its many nations, like United Nations. He didn't have nice things to say about the United Nations. They didn't decrease the number of flags, they increased the number of flags. They haven't brought peace. So what he wanted his International Society for Krishna Consciousness to do is to bring the representatives above the bodily conception, onto the spiritual platform. And on the spiritual platform, with spiritual qualification, then spiritual leadership should rule sometimes very strongly. If there are mischief makers, very strongly. But it's hard to do that. Frankly, I can say, being a GBC member, it's hard to do that. It's hard to do it for a number of reasons. It's hard to do it when you're a soft person to be hard. It's hard for people that are disrespectful to accept someone who's hard or firm. But it's necessary. It's necessary to protect innocent people, to be very firm. But to be very firm also requires a heart that's soft, that can be very soft as required. And be very hard as required. Because if one is acting, here's a lesson about discipline. Would you like to hear a nice lesson about discipline? Prabhupada was describing in relation to children, but something that I've learned that is what applies to children applies for big children, like adults. It's a principle. And when Prabhupada was being asked about discipline in Gurukul, he was saying no. And then the teachers would say, but Prabhupada, some of the children, they're just so much of a disturbance, there's no question of teaching in the classroom because they're just wild. We have to have discipline. Prabhupada said no. And no, and but Prabhupada, no, 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 no. So then finally they said, okay, no. Then Prabhupada went the other direction. Once he got them on board, he said, if the first thing in education is to show the child love. And when the child actually accepts that you're coming, the place that you're coming from is a place of love, then you can use discipline. Not before. Then you can use discipline. And when you use discipline, then he qualified it. Very important. From India, you'll understand this. From the Damodar Leela, you'll understand it. He said, you can show the stick, but never use it. Prabhupada did not approve of corporeal punishment. Hitting, slapping, spanking. It goes on, those of us from the West notice. It goes on. Pow! Ah. And, you know, in the West, it's you can go to jail for that. But, you know, it's not something that Prabhupada approved. When Prabhupada, in fact, Malati was describing this. She was in Prabhupada's, she would cook for Prabhupada. So she was privy to different exchanges. One time a few letters came to Prabhupada about how the children were being physically hit in the classroom situation. And Prabhupada burst into tears right in his privacy of his room. He burst into tears and his whole body started trembling. Saying, this must stop. Crying. Trembling. He said one thing I don't think I'll even repeat. How strong. I'll say it. He said under his breath, not like this was an instruction, but under his breath is, they should be killed. Meaning someone who hurts and it physically harms an innocent child in order to bring them under control. But it goes on. So it's not something that Prabhupada ever condoned. Rather, the principle is discipline. Sometimes discipline, now back to Prithu, discipline is required. The king must be strong. Because otherwise it's chaos. It's crime city. Everywhere you go, it's crime, crime, crime. The king must be strong. But when the king acts with strength, it first should be with the understanding from the receiver of that strength, this is coming out of love. And in our world today, it's very hard to have people even relate to being loved, or to speak of discipline with love. But that's a qualification that one must have to be in charge of subordinates, to be a leader. And it's a very important principle because Prabhupada wanted all of us to be leaders, at least leaders by example, by exemplary behavior and speech as Vaishnavas. Leading society as Vaishnavas, showing by example. Here is how you live your life as a, you know, this profession or that student or householder or renunciate or whatever it is. By example, here's how you do it. That's leadership. And when you're moving about the world, then you'll find situations where behavior is very incorrect, or speech is very hurtful, and how to deal with that situation. Challenging. As Vaishnavas, we all have our episodes of when we have to see to that being done. So, nice section, hearing about Prithu, how Prithu did it. He did it by spiritual influence, by his spiritual quality. He didn't have to go around bashing people. He just went around. And because of spiritual qualification, the darkness was dispelled. The miscreants hid from him. And then, again, the supplying of necessities. We mentioned this yesterday about Prithu Maharaj. One of the first things he did as king, indicated here, is the land was not producing. Earth was not producing. There was an insufficient supply of necessities. So he confronted Mother Earth. What are you doing? Wait. The previous king was a rascal, so I was reducing supply. Okay, well, that's over now. Supply. Okay, I'll supply. And there's a natural relationship between piety and supply, and impiety and restriction. I think I'll end with this example, very nice example. It's an example of a principle. When at one point in time, when our society was growing and growing and growing in leaps and bounds, Prabhupada gave an instruction that our very strong urban temples should have connected with the urban temple a farm community, where the farm community is showing, by example, simple living, high thinking, because Prabhupada had spoken about simple living, high thinking, pointing to rural communities depending upon the land, production from the land, the cows in the land. And he wanted us not just to talk about it, but to show by example. So from our New York temple, we bought a farm. Unfortunately, the farm was quite a distance from the temple. And that's been a problem ever since. It needed to be more proximate so we could support the farm. And the farm could then, the production from the farm could come to the city. Anyway, it was some distance from the farm, from the city. And one of the first things that the president of the farm, his name was Paramananda, Prabhupada disciple, he was the minister of agriculture for the whole society. He decided, I would like the people of the state where I am to respect, rather than think, oh, the Hare Krishna people have come into our area, they're weird, because we have, you don't have that problem, but we have that problem in America. So, as a public relations effort, he decided he would take the cows and enter the cows into the annual farm show. The annual farm show is where they have, I don't know, experts, and they look at the livestock and say, oh, this is the best cow, and this is the best horse, and this is the best whatever. So every year for like 4 years in a row, he won first, second, and third prize with the cows. Every year. And the other farmers were going, wow, he's got the best cows. I wonder how he does it. So they went to him and asked him, how do you do it? And his reply was, I don't think you'd believe me if I told you. No, we'll believe you. Tell us. No, I don't think you believe me. Yes, we'll believe you. Please tell us. He said, the secret is protection. Because when the cow is protected, the cow supplies so much milk and everything. She's very happy. And when the cow knows, when you stop producing milk, you know what's going to happen? She's not happy. So she produces less. That's the secret. Said, oh, come on. Said, I told you wouldn't believe me. No protection. And the whole subject here about King Prithu is a king, and the king's duty is protection. And if it doesn't, it's not selective protection. It's protection. And when the mood is there of protection, then ample supply is there. Prabhupada would say it over and over again. The idea of shortages. That's maya. There's no shortage. What the shortage is, the shortage of Krishna consciousness. Because earth can supply so much. And earth can restrict. And if the persons on earth are impious, vicious people, hurtful, prideful, arrogant, harmful people, earth is going to restrict. or earth can supply. The problem is not, you know, overpopulation. The problem is impiety, lack of God consciousness. And as Prabhupada would say, that they do not know. But the education was so that they would know. And show by example. Show protection and show the result of protection. And how many problems that people have that are just unnecessary problems because they're feeling unprotected, uncared for, unloved. And it's hard in a society where people are behaving in very unlovable ways. Again and again and again. So it takes a greatly qualified soul, conversant in the science of Krishna bhakti, and actually qualified to bring that into this world. And that is what Prabhupada was doing, and that's what he wanted his international society following him to do. And that's what Prithu Maharaj is doing. He was seen as Adi Raja, as Narayan himself, or representative of Narayan, empowered because of being in such resonance with the plan of the Lord. So we're not Prithu, but we should follow that example and become similarly empowered to make manifest in this world that which the message of Srimad Bhagavatam wants to deliver. We should, by our example, help bring that into this world, qualify ourselves and bring that into this world. That's our mission. Okay, so any comments or questions from anyone? Yes?
Maharaj, just by the way the society is set up, even in indirectly we are supporting such a hurtful life.
That's right.
For cows and the
earth. That's right.
Now, as devotees, what are the steps we can take? Like, we don't fully contribute into that, you know.
By the best answer I have for that is by looking at what Prabhupada did. And that's the indication of what we should do. He didn't say boycott milk. We offer milk to the deities, knowing what's behind it. But the first effort went to awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness. The next effort was set up model communities so we can point to this is how it should be done. Including agricultural communities, at least, you know, something where the temple or the devotee community can get behind, where there's sustainable agriculture, not, you know, industrial agriculture, where there's cow protection rather than cow slaughter. You know, we support that. We carry on our raising of Krishna consciousness in the urban setting, where there are so many compromises, as you said. Just to live in the city, just to live in an urban atmosphere. Take a job, find a job that doesn't have a compromise in it. So you go for a lesser compromise. But the reason for doing even that is the mission, the consciousness-raising mission. And then set example. And it's very challenging to set example because who wants to live a simple life? Everyone wants wealth and what wealth provides. And countries that don't have it, they want it. And countries that have it, they're in the lap of Maya. They don't want to give it up. The challenge is there, but what a devotee should do is what we just follow our acharya, and that gives us the path. Now, let's say, you know, in course of time, were Krishna consciousness to awaken further and further, that would naturally bring about a change of some fundamental changes. But it requires a very strong core Krishna consciousness to bring about fundamental changes, like, you know, how the economy operates and principles of how people make their decisions. Like, the principle of how people make their decisions is economic-based rather than principle-based, you know, value-based, conviction-based. It's economic-based. And so what's more economical? It's real simple. When the cow stops giving milk, off she goes. And the bulls, we don't need them to begin with. Off they go, even at childhood. And then we want peace. So it would require to go to another level would definitely require a willingness on the part of the participants to have a simpler life. But people aren't going to be prepared for a simpler life without a deeper satisfaction. So you have to go for the deeper satisfaction before the simpler life. And as numbers of people are prepared for simpler life, you know, perhaps circumstance will dictate it. When the oil runs out and so many other things just become so harsh. Anyway. Consciousness change is where to begin. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This moment is expanding. So protection comes from loving relationships.
Yes.
And then it is loving relationships are spiritual. And how to increase the capacity to receive loving relationship from the superiors, and how to increase the capacity to represent it as it is to others so that everyone feel protected.
I'll give a simple answer because the subject is complex. The simple answer, you have spent days on that subject. The simple response is like attracts like. You have to start with quality, not quantity. When you move into the arena of quantity, often there's a trade-off for quality. So my sense is there has to be quality and, you know, real core quality. And then like will attract like. What Prabhupada did was, he was very liberal and he engaged many people in Krishna consciousness, saying explicitly, people will come and go. At a certain point when there was a critical mass, he then used this expression, boil the milk. We don't need more. We need quality. So now we have critical mass presently, quality. Purity. And then purity will attract purity. Loving relationships will attract loving relationships. And it's challenging, even with, you know, keeping numerical, you know, horizons within, you know, some constraint. But when there is purity, then real purity can affect a lot of people. But without real purity, then it's not going to have the desired effect even on any people. And anything of value takes time. Purity takes time, loving relationships takes time, quality takes time, maturity takes time, everything takes time. Very concentrated effort over a period of time in an atmosphere that's conducive, the atmosphere of loving relationships. So that's where attention needs to go. Not, but quality.
Maharaj, like the way you're explaining, it fits exactly like quality, all the problems will be solved and everything working nicely. But then when we observe Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, certain instructions of Srila Prabhupada look like, suppose boiling the milk, it appears very practical and then exactly the scenario. But then certain instructions for example, I want each of you to accept...
You want to do what?
Prabhupada in one context was saying, I want each of you to accept thousands of disciples.
Yeah.
Such type of instructions don't fit into this mood of quality, or how we can understand Prabhupada's mood, or where that instructions can fit in such type of many instructions.
They're not at all contradictory if you understand even to accept one disciple, what quality do you need? To be an actual parent and have one child that you deliver from birth and death, become such a quality parent. Bhaktisiddhanta said, if I could do that, I would have thousands of children. So become so qualified that you can deliver one dependent from birth and death. Whether it's a child or a disciple or a friend or whatever the relationship, become so qualified. And being so qualified, then with that quality, then it can expand. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This was the question which I asked you day before yesterday, but it was not complete.
Speak a little louder.
This question I asked.
Started yesterday and wasn't complete.
Yes, Maharaj. From the two stories that I asked you, the liberation of Gajendra and Draupadi's insult,
yeah.
What I understood was when we try to help ourselves without depending on Krishna.
When we help others, try to help others without depending upon Krishna?
When we try to help ourselves without depending on Krishna.
Yeah, when we try to help others.
Ourselves.
Ourselves, okay.
When we try to help ourselves without depending on Krishna, like Gajendra was
trying. That's called Maya.
Yes.
Try to help yourself without depending on Krishna is Maya.
Yes, Maharaj. When Gajendra was trying to help
himself. But he was depending. Gajendra was depending.
It was partial dependence in the.
He was depending. Case. He struggled. For 100 years he was struggling without depending upon Krishna. And he realized. I have to depend upon Krishna.
So how come this statement of Prabhupada's statement that God helps to one who helps themselves?
You asked the same question yesterday.
Yes.
And my answer was, if you depend upon Krishna, that's helping yourself.
So
it's in the higher sense of helping yourself, not in the lower sense of helping yourself.
If I help myself, how come it will be complete submission?
Because you're part and parcel of Krishna. That's who you are.
But I'm not having complete faith in Krishna. I'm helping myself.
Okay, then
I have a doubt.
Then you're Gajendra.
In the practical situations, when we have material problems, should I help myself or should I depend completely on Krishna? Because if I have...
If you depend completely upon Krishna, that is helping yourself. You didn't get it. pass the microphone to someone else. The answer is the answer is not being withheld from you. The answer is being given. The real self-interest is full dependence upon Krishna. That's helping yourself. Real dependence upon Krishna, full dependence upon Krishna is real self-interest. When one does that, you're in the best possible way helping yourself. It's Prabhupada's answer, but it's also, you know, it's our transcendental science. Who are we? What is the self that we're trying to help? It's a tiny part and parcel of Krishna that is constitutionally fully dependent upon Krishna. Let me recognize I'm fully dependent upon Krishna. That's helping myself. The other is illusion. Operating on the principle of false ego. Helping myself. That's not helping yourself. Operating on the principle of false ego is hurting yourself in the name of helping yourself. Kartaham iti manyate. In the West, you know, America was founded by Protestants, people that were from Europe, and they were unhappy with the Church of England and the Church of France, the Church of this place and that place. So they came to America for religious freedom. Prabhupada explains like that. The history books explain like that. And the Protestant ethic is work very hard and God will reward you. It's just like one of those things. It's like, if I work very hard, I'm entitled because I work very hard. But that's, you know, kartaham iti manyate. God is obliged to supply. He's the order supplier. Work very hard. Hurry up. That's not helping yourself. That's illusion. And in modern mega churches in America today, and the New Age kind of philosophy being taught in America, is exactly this wrong idea. Just apply yourself and God will take care of you. Just be convinced that you can do anything you want. Just be convinced you can achieve it and you can achieve it. And religion is to help you achieve it. It's Maya. That's not helping yourself. That's further deluding yourself. Because then you become convinced. I just, you know, I don't have to depend. I just have to apply myself with conviction. And God's my order supplier. He'll supply. That's our relationship. Contractual relationship. That's not helping yourself. It's deepening oneself in illusion. Real, one more time, last time. Because we are constitutionally part of Krishna, fully dependent upon Krishna, when we place ourselves fully dependent upon Krishna, that's helping ourselves. God helps those who do that. Because the real helping of the self is to get out of illusion, not just to get what you want. This spiritual economics thing that I was sharing the other day. Studies show that people that have what they want, they're most unhappy. Prosperity, where are you looking? Prosperity, happiness. That's not helping yourself. Getting out of illusion is helping yourself. And what is illusion? I'm independent from Krishna. Or some version that I work hard and God supplies. And that's happiness. That's not happiness. That's illusion. It doesn't bring happiness. It brings dissatisfaction. It's created another industry in America called depression. There's a whole pharmaceutical industry dealing with people that have depression problems. They go to their counselor because they're too successful. And they're depressed. That's not helping themselves. It's hurting themselves. It's just, you know, statistical information. It's what's out there. Helping yourself is fully depending upon God. That's really helping. And God helps those who do that. It's 9:30 and I'm going to end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.